The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Loveline. The world's therapy couch since 1984. Loveline. Dr. Drew Pinsky. Medical doctor, philosopher, philanthropist, certified addiction specialist, the king of transformational media. Mike Catherwood, a former addict, current fitness guru, the ringmaster of a psychosexual addictive personality, Big Tom.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Just get on with it.
Yeah. You live. That's what I did in Aspen, Drew.
You live.
You live.
Yes!
I think no one should be responsible for killing somebody on their bike.
Then don't do that.
Just saying, the cops ought to get on.
I'm into the biking thing. Like, I get why people want to go fast on bicycles and possibly even race them. I get it.
Yeah. But not in Central Park.
No, listen, not. And I live in Venice Beach. And for those of you who are kind of,
confused.
Well, like all of you, are just kind of stepping into Dr. Drew and I's conversation. We're talking about how Bono's like half dead because he was riding a bike in Central Park.
And I was saying, I run in Central Park all the time, and it's dangerous. On some weekends, people are going so fast in their bikes, it's like running across the freeway.
I get that. But my point is that if you're riding your bike that fast and you're in my way and then yell at me, I'm going to hit you with my fist.
They're going to die.
Yeah. That's what I did in Aspen. I cracked a guy, rocked him, and he was on his back. And I was like, that guy's not mouthing off anymore.
Yeah.
Get out of the way! But he was like going that fast, like around Aspen. And if you've ever been, this was my first time there. It's like this really high, like super baller,
right,
like town.
Yeah.
But there's like these crazy bike paths. And these guys, they do like, you know, they're training, I guess, maybe to be
high altitude,
you know,
stuff,
bike
yeah.
racing and stuff. You know, maybe they do like criterium races or road racing, whatever. So he kept going. And like the third time he goes, he's screaming at people like we're walking in the middle of like a velodrome, but we're on this like on the sidewalk, you know?
Yeah.
And I hear him coming around again. I was like, I'm going to push this guy off the bike. And sure enough, boom, and I just. You got to, like, you're sitting at such a disadvantage.
Did he need an ambulance?
No. That's what I learned.
Well, in New York, they would need an ambulance if you did that.
But my.
I kid you not.
Listen, don't, like, you kind of have to make your own bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't.
It's the street there. It's not a sidewalk.
I understand. But if you're going to ride a bicycle so fast.
Well, that's like saying, well, I'm just going to change lanes. And those guys that ride their motorcycles full speed in between cars.
No, that's not at all.
I can't be responsible.
That's not
at
all.
I tried to look for them.
That's not at all like that. Because a motorcycle is a motor vehicle on a street where motor vehicles go.
Right. And a pedestrian is on a motor vehicle and bicycle way. Huh?
I guess.
Yeah.
But
there's a sidewalk and there's a street.
No, but you can't.
Now I could wait till the light changes.
Enough.
All right, let's get out. Let's do something fun.
You can't ride. You can't ride a motor vehicle in the street and make it. You can't compare that to, like, Central Park where people walk.
Yeah, but there's a street and there's a sidewalk. And the streets are for the bikes, and it says bikes on the street. It says a little thing with a bike on it.
Yeah.
And there are stoplights. You can wait for the stoplight before you run across. You know, because the bikes have to stop then.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's I'm just saying that running across the street and dashing, you know, trying to avoid these guys is a pain in the ass.
If you're riding a bike in Central Park and then you end up in the hospital with like Bono's broken. He has broken Bono.
Let's note that's what started this whole conversation.
Yeah. Like, that's on you. I don't care how bad that someone cut you off or whatever. Because
yeah, but somebody pushed you off.
New York City has plenty of places. If you are if you're a high level road racing racer, or you are like you're training for like a criterium race, or one of these guys, you love biking. I get it. I'm not crapping on all bicyclists. There's plenty of places where you can go and just open it up and crack that ass. Just like here, that's why I get so mad at people in Venice and Santa Monica who are riding four deep in the middle of the street,
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, you can go to PCH right down there. It's all yours, bro. Mm-hmm. There's a bike lane. You could open it up, train, do all you want. Don't come to Venice Boulevard.
Yep, I agree.
That's my point.
I agree. Do it where it's appropriate.
Yes.
Who's our guest tonight?
Our guest is Timothy Delgado. He is one of the most popular cast members of that there Wild and Out on MTV. And he has damn near broke the internet with popularity.
I know.
This man runs the internet. And I'm impressed because it seems like people who get that many views of YouTube videos and that much that many people following them online, they're usually British brother and sisters that just talk about how funny it was the one time they got in a pillow fight. And then I watch it as an old man and I go, well, what's – there's no possibility that people under 20 are all this dumb. They can't there's no way 900 million right. people watch this because I can't sit through 5 seconds of it. So I want to know what he is doing in particular as a funny person to galvanize the internet, because it seems like when you usually galvanize the internet in that manner, you have no personality or you you should be shot in the face. Thank you. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. What's our open form?
We'll figure it out during the next break.
Okay.
I've had some good ones, though. I've had some very
good
ones.
You guys have been on fire, yeah. Especially in my absence.
Yeah. How'd you know?
Because you told me last night.
I told you about one last night, yeah. But they have been good. Both of them were
good. And
then
throughout different email exchanges. Ah. You guys have let me in on the fact that the emails have, or the open forums have been good.
Yeah,
but I've gotten a lot of awesome open forum
suggestions,
ideas, and suggestions via Twitter.
Oh, bring more tonight. Bring it. We'll use them.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go fish them out, which is far.
Well, they may
above
send some more
my,
right now.
Huh?
Maybe they'll send some more right
All
now.
All right, send them in. Yes, if you like. I'm at Mike Catherwood, or you can send it to at Loveline, and Rune and I will work together to find the appropriate open forum this evening. Let's start off with Joanne. Hello, Joanne.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Joanne.
Hello.
Hi.
Whoa. What's up?
Nothing. Is Dr. Drew there?
Yes, ma'am. What's going on?
I was wondering what is the best way to overcome a mental illness.
You got to specify
yeah,
which
that's
one.
Like saying what's the best way to get over an infection. You know, there's many hundreds and hundreds of different kinds. I would say from a general principle, find a skilled board-certified physician, ask him or her for an evaluation and a treatment plan, and then follow it. Okay?
Have you been properly diagnosed? Are you just assuming that there's some?
No. I have bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, and then my uncle has Tourette's syndrome.
So does Drew.
Okay.
Is this Mike?
Yes.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been listening to you guys for about maybe 3 or 4 months, and I think that your open forums are the best.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne.
Do you have a suggestion for tonight, Joanne? We were asking listeners for a topic.
It's not Joanne. It's Jillian.
I'm sorry. It's Jillian?
Yes.
Okay, Jillian, do you have a suggestion for tonight?
Like, what have you guys not done?
That's kind of a, I'm sure there's sort of infinite things we've not done that we're looking for.
Is Kim Kardashian's ass too big?
Yeah.
No, that should be our open forum is my question. Micah and I got in an argument via Twitter.
He likes it?
No, he doesn't like it. It's connected to a girl. So what makes you think Micah likes it
at
all?
He's got good judgment.
Yeah, but he thinks it's too much. And I said, listen, I'm not typically the rap video chick guy, although Nicki Minaj is my ideal woman. So I don't know how that makes sense. But I'm fine with that took us.
Fine is one thing, but is it a little excessive? Have you been in the presence of said?
Yeah.
It's a little excessive.
I've been in their house. Listen, Jillian, thank you so much for the compliments, and I just, you know.
Ha, 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 very funny.
What is?
That's my favorite saying, like, what you guys were just talking about, I was, like, thinking in my head, ha, 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 very funny.
Hey, when's the next time you're going to be in the L.A. area? Because you should co-host the show. I mean, I love you.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm coming to L.A., but I live in New Mexico.
Okay. Well, listen, whenever you're out here, make sure you let us know, because I would love to have you any day. Hello, Mark.
Another New Mexicoan. Mexican.
Is that what they say? New Mexicoan?
Mexican.
New Mexican. Hey, I'm a New Mexican. What's up, Mark?
Hey, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes. Yeah.
So whenever me and my girlfriend have sex, sometimes if we do it like quite a bit, normally we do it about once or twice a week. And sometimes when we do it a couple times, she gets this feeling for a couple days, like she really, kind of like she needs to pee.
Couple.
Right, that's a bladder infection.
And is that something caused from the sex? Or?
Yes, when you have sex, you push the bacteria up the urethra and into the bladder. And a doctor needs to evaluate that when she gets that.
Are you using condoms?
Yes.
Good for you. Attaboy.
Yeah. So have her doctor take a look at the urine next time she gets those symptoms, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right, dude. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Timothy De La Ghetto. De La Ghetto. Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. on MTV. It is Wild and Out. Nick Cannon presents Wild and Out. Tim, one of the bigger stars on that show. 9.1 million followers on Vine. There's that many people in the world, huh?
That many people on Vine. That's crazy.
Yeah. God, man. Oh, no, that's King Batch was supposed to be here, but he decided not to show up.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. But Tim, listen, over 2 million YouTube subscribers and over 500 million views. It doesn't even make sense. That's like Monopoly money, right? You're just throwing out digits.
Just
at that
numbers,
point.
Yeah. Just a bunch of zeros.
Jeez Louise.
Why don't you say add three more? Just say it's that.
Yeah. TimothyDeLaGhetto.com and at DeLaGhettoReal on Twitter. Guys can join us straight ahead. I have a lot to talk about with this young man. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Loveline. Helping people get unscrewed up for 30 years.
Dr. Drew is the best.
No lecturing, no sermonizing. Loveline will be right back.
Come with me inside the machine and I'll show you.
Hey everybody, Steve Austin. I'm taking your phone calls on the family-friendly version of the Steve Austin Show. I opened up the phone line so I could talk a little wrestling, sports, whatever else is on your mind. This is your show, gang, and we're doing it all so the whole family can participate. So download the family-friendly Tuesday edition of the Steve Austin Show now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Anderson, now Drew's just, now he'll just say nonsense to my face to talk crap about the 70s. Now he just actually just says nonsense.
What'd he say?
Woody Allen was trying to be cool in the 70s. But
that's my point.
But he cut his writing teeth in the late 40s.
He was a stand-up in the 50s. And
right.
When he was Woody Allen, when he was balling it up, when he was Annie Hall and Manhattan,
yeah.
That was the 70s.
Right. But he wasn't... He was someone from a different era trying to keep up with that era.
Yeah.
The people born of that era were reprehensible.
Listen, I was born in 79.
No, I mean that we're coming of age. Listen.
Okay, so if you were 18 in 78.
If you were 18 in 66.
That's it.
Then by the time it was 76, you were out of control.
Timothy De La Ghetto joins us. He was -8 probably in the 70s. I don't know what...
That's about right. Yeah.
where are you from, sir?
Long Beach area, unless you're at like Thailand.
You're originally from Thailand?
Thailand or Long Beach?
I'm Thai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're asking like what gang.
Same thing.
Yeah. No. but are you from Southern California?
Yeah, Long Beach area.
Nice. You fight Muay Thai?
I don't. I wish I knew how. Like, I feel like my mom always wanted me to take Muay Thai growing up. Just, you know, I was too lazy for all that.
It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, every Brazilian guy I know claims to know jiu-jitsu and stuff. And you can be, like, a normal dude and be even, like, a world champion jiu-jitsu fighter. Like, but you could be, like, a normal, you can't even dive into the world of Muay Thai without being a grizzled badass. Like,
yeah.
You know, like little kids.
Why? What is it
about
it?
It's just because, because of how utterly violent the sport is itself. I mean, it is truly a brutal martial art that highlights the most hard and fierce points of your body and uses them as objects of damage. Yeah,
it's supposed to be like the most dangerous. That's what my mom told me.
Yeah, no, it is. I had to give up training it because I got tired of like limping to work. You know, like and coming.
Well, that was
like,
one that's doing that to you.
Yeah, like yeah. Just like not being able to walk. My shins being all you know. Right. But listen, it's there's something very cool about that because the
you can do that to somebody
the
else.
Thai people wear it with like a badge of honor as well. They should because and then the sweetest part is they have like. Thai versus Guam, like, warfare, where they're like, you bring your best to our place, and we'll bring our best to your... And then it's on, like, Donkey Kong.
That was definitely a bragging point for me growing up. I would always say that Sagat on Street Fighter was Thai, and I'd be like, yeah, dude, he's, like, one of the hardest people to beat because he's Thai.
Yeah. And he really is.
Thai, right.
And he was the swolest. Like, there was buffer, like, more chunky dudes on Street Fighter 2, but as far as who had the best overall physique, Sagat was champion.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Enough about Street Fighter 2. What got you into like improv and comedy?
You know what? Like, I mean, I always wanted to do the whole acting comedy thing growing up. I had taken some improv stuff here and there. I had a small group of like filmmaker homies in high school. We would submit to different film festivals.
Yeah.
That didn't really go anywhere. So then I found YouTube. I thought it would be a good way to kind of get my face out there. And I was just kind of doing it for fun at first, like as a goof. And then more people started watching and then spreading around the videos and it just kind of turned into a thing.
Did you – so you started balling it up on YouTube before Nick Cannon discovered you or not? It wasn't vice versa?
No. It was all – I was definitely balling it up on YouTube for for some years before the Wild 'N Out stuff happened.
Yeah. Now, is Nick Cannon like – I know he's legitimately involved in all his projects. He doesn't put his name on stuff. Like his headphones and his Wild 'N Out and all this, like everything he does, he really rolls up his sleeves and gets involved. But does he like is he there when you're auditioning? Is he there through the whole process? He's like Lorne Michaels of Wild 'N Out.
Yeah, he was there for the audition. Actually, like the reason I got my audition was he tweeted whoever gets the most retweets of Wild 'N Out needs me, I'll audition personally. So I had my Twitter following retweet that, and then they direct messaged me, and I went to audition for him and
a
room full of other people, and that was that.
What is it like being on Wild 'N Out and then having that as much popularity as you do on the internet in all forms of like social media and stuff? It must be very hard not to get laid now. You could like it's very easy for you to find sexual partners.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, I didn't have too much trouble getting laid in the beginning.
Yeah, you're a handsome guy.
Thank you. You know, and I'm a confident guy. You know,
I think that helps.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I definitely had a good year and a half where I explored the YouTube groupies, and I indulged in that for a little bit. I have a girlfriend now, though, so I'm swore off all the randoms.
How long have you been with this young lady?
3 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she's Canadian.
Really?
Yeah.
Like she has a Canadian passport, or she is
no,
a
like
Canadian?
She lives there.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What part?
Saskatchewan.
How did that happen?
Long story short, we have a mutual friend that used to make YouTube videos, and I was a fan of her stuff. And then and then I was creeping her Facebook and said, "Hey, who's your hot friend?"
Yeah,
and that was it.
That's beautiful.
Thanks, man.
That is the real beauty of the internet, Drew. Is that like your poontang net? It goes all over all the continents.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah, I do.
If you wanted to crush in Antarctica right now.
Done and done.
You know? Like Facebook could make that happen. We have an open forum idea for us. Timothy De La Ghetto from Wild 'N Out joined us. Hello, Grant.
Hello.
What up?
Hey, yeah, so I was thinking a good one. How about sex toys not originally intended to be sex toys?
We've done that before, and it did work out well. I'm open for it. Drew, what do you think? We've always had fun with that. We're like, you masturbated with something that isn't designed for masturbation.
But I didn't like that one because it was so quick. I think sex toy mishaps, things like that, it's a little more colorful.
I don't know if it's always quick. Sometimes girls call up and they'll say, whatever. And I go, wait, whoa.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
How'd you even get to?
Yeah.
If they do, if it's shower head or cucumber, you're like, okay, we get it, yeah. But every once in a while, especially because guys, we're gross. I mean, nothing phases me when a guy calls up. He could say anything. I'm like, I get it.
All right, but let's make a list.
All right,
let's start making a list.
Grant, we're putting you down.
I don't have one.
What? Shut up, Grant. I'm saying we're putting you down with your original idea. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I love you guys. Been listening to you for a really, really long time. But
thanks,
my
honey.
Question is for both of you guys, but my boyfriend's mother has been a drug addict for quite a long time. She takes pain medicine and anxiety medicine, and she has legitimate pain. But yesterday, it just kind of got out of hand. She picked up her prescription for Ativan. There were 60 pills in there. We could tell that, you know, she had taken way too many. We took the bottle away from her, and there was 19 left. So she took 41 of them.
After how long a period of time?
This was from yesterday morning, just all day yesterday.
Okay,
I don't know.
Let's be clear.
Let's
be clear. She may have pain. There's no legitimate reason for her to be on benzos and opiates.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
She has life threatening addiction. She needs to go spend some extended time in a structured program.
Okay. I don't know. I just don't know how we go about it.
Is she in the hospital now?
Willing to do it.
Is she in the hospital now?
Yeah.
Her medical team needs to get in there and put her in treatment. They need to get an addiction specialist in there, a psychiatrist, right away.
Okay.
You have to
call an ambulance and get them to pick her up and
Let them handle it. Get a consultation with an addiction psychiatrist now and let him or her determine where she goes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. What is Ativan? What is that?
Valium.
It is? Mm. So I was going to say, that's not just painkiller. That's
that's benzo. She said benzo and opiate, and it's just not legitimate.
Oh, at Traffic, that's TRAPHIK on Twitter, our guest, Timothy De La Ghetto. Hello, Katie.
Katie?
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Go.
What's up?
Here we go.
Hey, I have a question. I've been seeing this guy for quite a while, and I've been starting to have really strong feelings for him. When we hang out, it's pretty much just a sexual thing, and we'll be at his place. And I've asked him a couple of times, just recently even, if I said, we should go out and get some drinks and, maybe in some time. And he said, yeah, maybe. And when I've told him before, I said, I'd really like to start seeing you more often. It kind of he just kind of blew it off a little bit. It felt
he's not into you.
Yeah, stop seeing this guy.
Wait, are you having sex?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Stop seeing this guy immediately. There's no chance of this changing in the current condition.
Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion that you would say, hey, let's go play miniature golf. And he'd be like, I'm not. Let's go have some drinks. I don't really. Hey, come over and bang me. He'd probably be like, okay.
He'd be there in a second. Yeah. Oh, he'd be immediately there.
Well, even on those parts where I'm just like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And he'd be like, well, I'm at the bar or I'm at
He's out with somebody else is what he's doing. But if he, because he has sex with you, has no implications about his feelings for you. None. I understand it's hard for you to understand that, but it's zero. Empty set is what he's feeling. Now, could you generate some feelings? Not in the current situation.
There's no way to get around that part since it's just we've already established that it's just a sexual thing and it won't change from that.
It will not change for him. Guaranteed. Anybody else disagree? Disagree?
No, totally booty call situation for sure. Yep.
Well, Katie, what were you expecting us to say? I mean, it sounds pretty cut and dry. I mean, you're a 27-year-old girl. You're not
a 15-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're giving you revolutionary, groundbreaking news.
No, I know it's something that you kind of need to hear from the professionals, I guess, because I've been listening to you guys forever. But it's also just I don't know. You you know how girls are always going to have more emotional feelings than physical for guys.
Yeah, well, don't put yourself in that situation. You've put yourself in a situation where you've gotten attached to this guy. You're expecting him to share in your experience, and he is not.
Well, that's another thing that I wanted to definitely ask you, Dr. Drew, is for me, it seems like a lot of the time if I'm looking at somebody, it's more of a sexual thing and then I'll start having feelings for him, and I'm hoping, you know, it'll spark the same in him, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But is there something obviously I'm doing wrong is by going just out of for a sexual thing, but is there something
There's something wrong if you keep having these outcomes that aren't satisfying to you. So if you want to
is there something that I'm looking for that I'm looking at wrongly? Does that even make sense how I'm asking?
Yeah, you're expecting not to have these feelings, or you're expecting him to have these feelings if you get in a sexual relationship. And it's just those are false assumptions. You need to be...
Well, it's not even for that. It's like if I'm not even looking for a relationship, but I'm looking for guys to hook up with.
Then you need to understand. You need to look at your pattern and go, oh, I see. When I hook up, I get these feelings. I better not do that anymore unless I want to deal with those heavy feelings.
And listen, like we tell guys who make friends with girls, hoping to parlay that into romance, the same goes for women, just in the opposite direction. Don't start banging guys hoping to find a boyfriend. I'm not against the idea of like hooking up on the first date. Don't get me wrong. But my point is like, if you think you're going to go out and just have a bunch of random hookups and hopefully out of that pool you will find a boyfriend, that's the wrong way to go about it. Just like if guys think they go out and make a bunch of friends with chicks and they're going to like
waxing their cars and I'll find a relationship. No.
I think maybe fine tune your motives a little bit more.
And be realistic about yourself and how you respond to these situations and what you're actually looking for.
Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. on MTV. It is Wild and Out. One of the stars, Timothy De La Ghetto, joins us this evening right here on Loveline.
Sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
Yeah, I buy pretty much everything Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. It makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
Joins us this evening. He's a man from Wild and Out. Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. on MTV at Traffic. That's with a PH.
Yes.
A.
And it's an honor to be here, by the way.
Oh,
I used to watch this show on MTV as a youngin', you know, learning about my body. And,
you must have been like six.
Dude, I was so young.
Oh.
I was thinking
about...
What's
wrong with your parents?
Well,
they went to sleep.
I mean, I listened to Loveline way too young.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, I think, what is special about this show is that you want to listen to it because you want your questions answered.
Yeah.
And they're all questions that you do have at an age where you probably are too embarrassed to ask them.
Yeah.
So it really serves its best value,
right.
I think.
Well, I didn't like people feeling abnormal or flawed or something's wrong with them. I didn't like that. So they make them feel like just another human. That's good.
Now, where I end up getting into trouble is that there are – right now 10-year-old kids listening, and I'm glad because they're going to hear about HPV and condom use and potentially, you know, kids peer pressuring them and using drugs. And I'm awesome, and I'm super pumped on that, and I hope that it maybe can
– if the parents want them to be, and if they don't, they should – take away the radio.
Yeah, take away the radio. They shouldn't be listening. But my point is like, I'm pumped on the idea that kids will be exposed to that, and even at too young an age. Mm-hmm. What I'm not pumped about is that I constantly try to make it an entertaining show for a 25-year-old or a 35-year-old, and then that ends up feeding into that 10-year-old's brain, and I feel bad because that 10-year-old is going to go to school tomorrow and be like, you guys are never going to believe what I learned. You know what bukkake is? I can tell you about bukkake.
No, but you know what? The thing about it is like, I now, since I watched your show, now a lot of the videos I do, like I give relationship advice to like 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds writing into me, and I'm all about like, you know, preaching the condom use and stuff, even if I don't use them all the time. Like, I'm all about preaching the condom use, you know?
Wait, it's true though. I mean, when you are popular as you are on the internet, you're amazingly popular online with your YouTube channel and social networks and stuff. You're going to be dealing with a lot of times a demographic that's very young. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure they get the sense that because you are not a guy who's out like doing – you're not doing predominantly like skits or portraying characters. They get the sense that they know you. So they probably do feel pretty comfortable asking you questions and approaching you and just, hey, you're so cute, by the way. Like, how come my boyfriend doesn't like me, you know?
Yeah, you know, no, it's actually crazy how much the kids feel comfortable confiding in me, you know? And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, as a YouTuber, you look straight into the camera, you know, as opposed to, like, a regular celebrity. Like, people kind of feel like they connect with you a little more. So a lot of kids just write me about the most intimate details of their lives, and, you know, I try my best to give them some good advice.
Yeah, Eddie Ift and Steve-O were here last week, and both stand-ups. And we were talking about that and dealing with being a stand-up and being a radio personality. That similarity is that you're constantly out and your line of work is selling your very real self. You the more you are authentic to your real self, the better you are at your gig. Unless you're like a prop comic or something.
Right.
And it does give people, hopefully, I guess that is a positive byproduct of that, is that it gives people the sense that they really know you. And oftentimes they don't, but they get the sense that they do. So I get to hear about like kids like breakup problems and stuff. And I'm like, I hope this works out for you. But let me remind you, I am not a professional. I'm just a dude, you know?
Right. And I mean, it's a little weird sometimes because I get pretty personal. So people, you know, they know about my girlfriend, my parents and all that. One time a dude came up to me. I was eating a sandwich and he's like, aren't you supposed to be on a diet? I'm like, dude, how'd you know that?
Come on.
And I remember that I said it in a video and I was like, oh, so.
Well, why were you supposed to be on a diet? Because your girlfriend said, or
Kind of. Yeah, she told me she'd break up with me if I got fat.
Yeah, well, then you tell that guy, shut your damn mouth.
Yeah, shut your damn mouth, guy.
Hello, Mark.
Hey. What's up?
What's up with you, man?
Oh, nothing. The other guy suggested a topic, and I had never even considered that. But I wanted to suggest the topic of Craigslist casual encounter stories.
That's pretty solid. Back in the day when there was still the adult section of Craigslist, I'm sure some crazy stuff went on.
Yeah, no, there's still some crazy stuff that goes on in casual encounters, that's for sure.
Hey, does anybody go to Silk Road?
What is that?
That's like the underground like crime market of the internet.
For what?
Oh, where you use that new Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's where they confiscate all the Bitcoin from. Like, Silk Road's where you go to hire people to kill people and buy drugs and, like, you know, meet bookies.
If you're not actually trying to find something like that, can you, like, read all the posts? Oh, my God.
Well, there was an original Silk Road, and then it got shut. Like, they finally found out who. So now there's, like, a Silk Road 2.0, but you have to, like, it's kind of like the cool club. You have to know someone who knows someone, but just researching Silk Road, I was fascinated. But that is like literally where people go to like find hitmen and stuff.
Whoa.
Pretty sweet. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's terrible, but it's fascinating. All right, we will mark it on the list, Drew. What do you think? Craigslist casual encounters.
What's the craziest thing you've sought out on Silk Road?
Just call us. No, I don't. Wait, dude. Speaking of hitmen, it looks like that. As LA Dying front man, he might be screwed.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
We had that guy in. He was in our studios, and like a couple months later, he gets busted for firing a hitman to kill his wife.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And the dude who supposedly killed his wife down in Mexico, the TV producer.
Oh, yeah?
I was in his office. Like, as close as you and I are right now. Like, yeah, totally, man. Wait, we work on something, blah, blah, blah. And then I turned on. I was on Kevin and Bean still, and the news is on the TV that Bean's face is on.
Maybe you're killing all these people.
I am. I'm too close to all of it. Hello, Gina. Damn, Gina.
Hello?
Yes, what can we do for you?
Hi, yes. I've just been, gosh, I guess. So my boyfriend is in recovery right now, and I'm just kind of wondering if it's a lost cause and all of this.
Well, how long has he been in recovery?
8 months.
And you were dating prior to him getting clean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
How's he doing?
Yeah, I mean. So far, so good. I mean, we're long distance right now, though, too. So,
where is he?
He's up north. He's in like Santa Cruz area.
And you're down south. You're in LA area?
Yeah, I'm in Santa Barbara.
I have to say this. How long in total have you been with this young man?
Almost 2 years.
Okay. How serious do you see this relationship?
I mean, pretty serious. I feel like he's probably the first guy I felt very, very strongly about.
Then
you need
to go to Al-Anon. You need to go to Al-Anon and think about this after you've begun working a program in Al-Anon.
And this is coming out of the mouth of a drug addict, of an alcoholic. I'm in recovery.
Right.
I'm not saying this. I'm not painting a bad picture of this man. I wish him the best, and I hope to God that he stays clean for the rest of his life. But if you're not ready for a nightmare.
Rough ride.
Sorry,
I forgot.
For no reason. Roller coaster effing ride, she said. And this goes out to everyone out there who's either could potentially someday be involved with someone in recovery or someone who's an active user. Listen, Gina, don't cuss. Unless you are, for this man, for his sake, prepared for a nightmare, then it doesn't make you a bad person to bow out now, because half measures will get you nowhere when you're the loved one of a drug addict. You have to be ready to be like, I'm going to be here when you relapse, and when you're crying to me, and when you can't sleep, and when you're shivering, and when you want to use and you can't, and when you don't want to go to meetings and I have to force you. It's going to suck. So my point is like, if you love this guy and you're in it for the long haul, go for it. Good for you. But if you're not, it doesn't make you a bad person to have that self-awareness and to end the relationship.
So, but I mean, like, you think relapsing is inevitable. It's going to happen.
I don't want to say it's inevitable, because that is a defeating idea, but it is kind of
very likely.
Yeah, it's expected. I relapsed. You know, it took me 2 or 3 tries to really get it down. And Lord knows, I'm not saying with any level of confidence that I've got it licked. I still daily deal with, you know, my disease. And, you know, so it's just, I again, I don't want to say that it's likely or that it's going to happen. But I just say it in that it's one of those things that when it does happen, you're not surprised, and it shouldn't cripple your ongoing recovery.
Okay.
He's a heroin addict?
Yes, he is.
Well, that's another thing. Is he on a replacement therapy, or is he doing it cold turkey?
Cold turkey.
Okay,
good.
That's better. Yeah, it's better. Abstinence therapy, right, Drew?
He's been sober 9 months now.
Okay.
Yeah, but no Suboxone, no methadone, nothing.
No.
Like that.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah. No. Listen. Hey. Good for him, and I wish you the best.
I always find it intriguing when somebody begins to really get a sobriety going. The codependent that's been there during the slipping and sliding suddenly goes, I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean, this may be the time to double down and go to Al-Anon and really think about it.
Yeah. I mean, Gina, you do have your own obligations now. You got to go to Al-Anon. You got to, you know, really keep in touch with your own feelings, because it's going to make you feel kind of weird.
Right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Good luck with it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Timothy De La Ghetto He's going to be solo tonight. I've been informed that King Bash is not coming in.
Yeah, all good. It's better this way.
I agree.
Yeah,
we're more intimate.
All bonded already.
Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. on MTV. It's Wild and Out. Give us a call. It's Loveline.
Loveline is no longer limited to the coast-to-coast radio model.
That's true, Dr. Drew. We are now global and on demand.
Go to PodcastOne.com, where you can download full shows right to your computer or phone and take us with you on your commute or even to work or to the gym, grocery shop, wherever you're going. Take it, download it.
The same old Loveline show that airs nightly on the radio near you. They're all now available whenever and wherever you want.
The free Loveline podcast only from Podcast One at PodcastOne, PodcastOne.com.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Loveline will return right after these words of wisdom.
You mean more advertising?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk inviting you to download the Eddie Trunk podcast at PodcastOne.com. Going to have some fun each and every week. Mixed bag of a lot of things. Interviews with some of your favorite artists. Maybe talk to some of the behind-the-scenes people. Get into some commentary. Answer some of your email. We'll have some good fun, so don't miss it. The Eddie Trunk podcast every Thursday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Hello? Hi, it's me, Ross Matthews, America's gay. Listen, I get it. Life is hard. Okay, we all struggle. Boyfriend problems, girlfriend problems, job problems, life problems, which TV show to watch. Honey, I get it. You need help. That's why I'm here. I'm the gay best friend you wish you had, and honey, you know you need. It's Straight Talk with me, Ross Matthews. This is tough love, honey, but it's worth it, like plucking or waxing. Get your weekly gay pep talk right here on PodcastOne.com.
Drew, we've been getting a lot of fantastic nominees for our open forum. A lot of suggestions for our open forum this evening. You said the worst thing you can do to get you've ever done to get laid?
Yep.
Well, you can't do any worse than rape, right?
Except murder and rape.
But I'm saying you do a service to the person to kill
them
afterwards.
I'm not so sure in the eyes of the gods. In the great scale of justice.
I mean...
Well, does that mean if you drug somebody and rape them, you're doing them a service?
No, I'm saying after you've raped, if you kill them, at least you've kind of taken away the burden.
The sting.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's call Bill Cosby. He'd know.
Yeah, he would.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. What's Bill Cosby? By the way, you wouldn't even... by the way, Timothy De La Ghetto is our guest. Wilding Out, Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. on MTV. And also, this man... A massive, massive internet star. Traffic is his handle on that there Twitter, at Traffic, T-R-A-P-H-I-K. Very successful. He has actually two. You have two YouTube channels.
Yeah, yeah. I have one main one, skits and music videos, and then another one where it's like, hey, this is my life, my day-to-day. Yeah.
More of a reality show type thing. What's Bill Cosby's, like, little rape cocktail? What's his little rape
What
tonic?
Could that be? It's probably a benzo of some type, right? Because they're out for 12 hours.
Is it Jell-O pudding? Pops?
Yeah, Jell-O.
But we have arrived at it.
It's my special flavor.
We have arrived at an open forum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. In honor of Kim Kardashian's ass and those pictures, it's not even just ass, by the way. That's the one that got circulated. It was her tuchus.
She had a full frontal.
It was, yeah, her boobs and her vagina and the whole deal. I'm all in. there was some debate. Timothy agrees with me. I'm fine with it. Yes, does she have a huge ass? Without question.
Yeah, but I enjoy it.
But I there was something very appealing about those pictures. I'm sure they're photoshopped to the hilt and airbrushed like crazy, but it was all oily and appealing. Pose.
So, out of that, open forum.
What is the perfect body?
Yeah, describe it and why.
Made on 95, I believe, is the name of the person who suggested that. Give us the – and that's male and females.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want –
We want to hear from both of them.
Yeah. Because I have
and
my –
And gay and straight.
By the way – I have much more of an opinion on what's the best male body than I do on what's the best female. Jack, hello.
Hello.
Yes, what's up?
How's it going?
Pretty good, brother.
Dr.
Dr. Drew, you are the bee's knees, man.
Thanks, Jack. What's up?
That's true. That's very true.
So my question is, me and my girlfriend have been together about 2 years now, and the other day she was over, and she was taking a shower. So she left her phone there, and I went to check what time it is, and I saw she had some emails. So, you know, I'll be honest, I was doing a little bit of snooping around, and I didn't find anything bad, like, you know, her cheating or anything. But what I did find was old emails from a little bit before, from when me and her got together. And they're old emails of her, basically, you know, she was chatting with this guy and chatting, and basically, you know, she was sex chatting on there and doing video sex chatting and stuff.
Yeah, but this is before you came around, right?
This is before I came around.
She's entitled to do whatever she was doing, right?
Exactly. The thing that makes me a little bit angry is that, you know, I understand that, and you know, I'm trying to get a grasp on that, you know, I shouldn't be angry because you know, it was before me and her. But, you know, I've asked her to do things like that for me, and, you know, I mean, she's just kind of, refused to do it. And I just thought that maybe she wasn't like that. You know, the thing was, is like, I never knew that she was, you know, kind of like that.
Did she ever have any, just a curious question, any sexual abuse?
Did she ever have any sexual abuse?
Right.
You know what? To be quite honest with you, I'm not sure.
Okay, you might want to get some information on that, because sometimes if people have had sort of unpleasant sexual experiences in childhood, their sexuality becomes something they can't express readily to somebody they really care about, but they will express it to somebody, usually people that they see as sort of bad, that they can take that bad part of themselves and share it with them. And
that's how I feel. You know, it's like,
that's her problem. She needs to get therapy for that if that's happening.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like, you know, why would she do that with someone who she hardly even knew?
Right,
you know?
Because she has that part of herself is separated, it's compartmentalized, and she has trouble being that way with somebody she really cares about. The good news is she really cares about you. Bad news is you don't get the whole person.
Now, I of course agree with you, Dr. Drew, and that's great insight. But does that really change anything for Jack? He should still kind of feel like, that kind of sucks. I mean, it's his girlfriend.
Yeah, he should feel not good. Yeah. But he should find out more about her.
Right.
And if she does have that trauma history, get her to some treatment, and then maybe you will get the whole person back.
All right.
So my question is, should I be angry? Because
I was
angry when I found out, you know,
you should feel uncomfortable. It should feel yucky, but you shouldn't be angry.
What do you get out of feeling angry? I can understand you feeling disappointed, feeling hurt, but it doesn't matter in any. Let me give you a little advice, Jack. You're 21. You shouldn't feel angry about anything.
It is weird, though, how people can – isn't it weird how people can show certain aspects? It's particularly when they're in that sort of dating age. They can show certain aspects of themselves to certain people and just have to have trouble showing that to others.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And this is just a more glaring example of that. They feel ashamed of a certain part of themselves, or somehow you trigger something that makes that part difficult to, to share.
What I'm just starting to believe is that maybe, you know, I'm just starting to believe that maybe, you know, not all women, but some women, they're, you know, will do certain things with guys, you know, with strangers, you know, or random people,
Jack,
stop it.
I just told you why.
Yeah.
So let's get her some help, okay?
All right.
All right.
All right, Jack.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
You bet.
Tim, you want to stick around for the open forum?
Yeah, sure. I'll stick around for a little bit.
All right. Timothy DeLaghetto is our guest. Wildin' Out airs Wednesday nights, 11 p.m. on MTV. Just got picked up for its seventh season. This man is one of the stars of the show, undoubtedly. He is Traffic on Twitter, @Traffic, T-R-A-P-H-I-K. The open forum this evening. What is the perfect body, in your opinion? Male and female. I got some ideas. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
time for you to give us your opinions and insight.
Mother has old-fashioned ideas.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Here's tonight's open forum.
What is the perfect body? Give us a call. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Timothy De La Ghetto. De La Ghetto. He joins us this evening. Wild 'n Out airs 11 p.m. on Wednesdays on MTV.
January 9th, it premieres.
Fantastic. You got to be pumped.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, super excited.
And it seems like a fun way to make a living.
It's definitely a fun way. You know, there's no scripts. We just kind of go in and have fun out there, try to be funny.
So, any sweet celebrity guests this year?
Yeah, for this upcoming season, we got some interesting people. We got like Jim Jones, remember him, Ballin?
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, the model, Chanel Iman, she's going to be on.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
Super tall.
Yeah.
Super hot.
Yeah. Do you destroy her? Do you just tear her in half?
No, I know. I was on her team.
Oh.
So.
That's no fun.
You know.
Do you still have the girl DJ on Wild 'n Out?
No, like, no. It's a guy DJ, big shiny head, black guy DJ D-Rec.
That Asian female DJ that Nick Cannon used to have on Wild 'n Out, it was one of the hottest chicks I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I will find this right now. Someone tweet me a picture. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Who? Give us an example. Give us a description of the perfect body. I would say, Drew, it's hard to argue with Isabel Goulart, or the Brazilian Victoria's Secret model, the one I showed you.
The new one?
Her and Swanpole. It's hard to argue with that as far as like ideal female proportions.
I could see where some people would say it's too thin.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say too thin.
Yeah.
Victoria's Secret models are usually a little too thin for me.
Let me bring up a picture of Isabel Goulart, and you tell me if this is too thin, boys. And then also, I got to give – I spent a lot of time filming for Fuse this weekend, countdown of the top 40 videos of 2014. And Miss Nicki Minaj makes like 5 appearances. And Nicki Minaj is ridiculously hot. Her body.
Yeah, I don't even care how fake it is.
I agree. I don't care if that was made in a lab or not. It is awesome.
Yeah.
It is way awesome. So I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place in that I like them tall and thin, but I also like Nicki Minaj very much. So, Andrew, what do you think?
I think the best woman, in my opinion, is, just like a real chubby, not too big, but, just chubby woman with the rolls, like about 5'7" rolls, because I really don't care, man. I mean, I love the big women.
Do you like ethnic women, or do you like anything? It doesn't matter what color or anything, just as long as they have rolls.
No blacks, but like white, Asians, like, oh, man. So
I have to say, though, you're not going to find a lot of Asian girls with rolls.
Oh, believe me, man. I'll put the rolls on her. I mean, I'll fuck the rolls on.
There's chubby Asian girls out there.
Oh, there certainly is. But as far as rolls, I grew up in a neighborhood where it's overwhelmingly the majority was Asian.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. Of course, there's going to be.
But they wouldn't get rolls is what you're saying.
You don't see like the people of Walmart level fat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't typically see that. Filipino, like that type of, like the Mekong Delta, you can see some bigger.
The Mekong Delta.
You see some bigger ladies.
Oh,
but
my God.
But Chinese, Japanese, Korean, you just don't typically see like a lot of like beefy level chicks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But you know what? I found that because, I found that like Asian girls that grew up around a lot of like black dudes, for some reason, they will have like a thicker body type.
Do you think that they, by osmosis, like they grew bigger ass to be appealing to the African American?
I think it just, man, I don't know. It just happens. Like white girls and Asian girls that grow up in more like urban areas.
and
bigger butts.
And thicker, what do we mean by that?
Oh, thicker in hip hop vernacular is like you have just juicier body parts.
Yeah.
It's not a fat connotation.
Yeah, no, it is true.
Well, as opposed to Swanpole, who is more stick like.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, she's definitely got proportions.
She had proportion and curves, but she's not thick, right?
Yeah, bringing up this girl, Isabel Goulart. You tell me, look at her on the Pilates reformer there, Drew. That's hard to argue with.
I like the way you pull out a movie picture.
Of course I did. Show Timothy and tell me that that's not.
Oh,
hello,
God.
Chris.
Hi.
Thank
How's
you.
Going?
Yeah. What do you think? What is, like, the ideal body?
My favorite body type, actually like a guy, would be like a football lineman type of dude who's just like stick, like, has a beer gut ripped or anything, like, stick, like, heavy-set football line in the gut.
Are you gay?
I am.
Oh, okay.
No, but heavy-set, I mean, like an offensive lineman.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, especially, like, the linemen who, like, haven't been playing for a while and they've gained a little bit of weight. Like,
yeah, but yeah, so these days the offensive linemen, they're pretty thick.
Have you been around Division I football or like NFL level linemen? Have you been around them in real life?
No, I mean, I hung out with a lot like in high school.
Yeah, they're
massive.
They're beyond belief. Yeah, you can't wrap your head around how big these men are.
Their calves are as big as your waist.
Yeah, and that's not a
that's the sexiest thing ever.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Are you into like other like really masculine stuff? Like do you like them like bears? You mean do you like them like boyish but huge?
No more bears than anything, if I had to say.
Okay. You're just like big manly dudes. I get it. Hello, Jack.
How you doing today?
What are you thinking? What's the perfect body?
For me, mostly, I really like the slender females. Primarily, like if they slim, they get that total tonage and pixie cut, short black hair, and definitely tattoos. I'm not sure if that's kind of cheating or if that's just accoutrement.
No, it is hot. So
it's like what are those website girls called?
Yeah, like suicide.
Like
girls.
A suicide girl. Yeah.
But there's also some fitness girls now that are like they're like fitness chicks, but they're covered in tattoos, and I just it's boner town when I run across them on Instagram. It's just crazy.
What we're going to learn tonight is that this notion of sort of Vogue or Playboy beauty is really not what the average male zeroes in on. It's the average male zeroes in on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we're
all
not picky.
Over the place.
Yeah.
No, we're picky, but each one is picky in his own range.
I'm wondering
if women are similar.
Oh, no. Yeah, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Women are way picky about other women.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Why those magazines are filled with these girls. That's why these runway models look a certain way.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do. Jennifer Aniston's body consciousness does not develop from what Justin Theroux thinks of her body.
Yeah.
It's from what every other girl who picks up Us Weekly thinks of her body. That's what the funny thing is about chicks. Guys, for the most part, especially, listen, gay guys are a perfect example. They are pumped, like, no, you'll never find better physiques than on gay dudes, like, at the gym. They're the most yoked dudes ever. And it's because they want to look good for other dudes.
Just think about Jennifer Aniston. If she picked up 20, even 30 pounds, she wouldn't lose the guys that are into her now, and she'd pick up a bunch of more guys.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. A bunch of more guys would be into her than are now.
It's very strange. But, hey, listen, I'm not a woman. I'm not here to tell you women what to think. Hello, Chris.
How's it going?
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm actually into the petite girls, but they must have thighs. They need to have the thighs.
Thighs.
Petite with thighs. So like a Mila Kunis?
Yes. Not all just skinny. They have to be short. I like the short girls, too.
Sure. All right.
Tiny. Look at this, Drew. What do you think? This is another girl I'd like to nominate. Her name's Tina Louise. She's a model as well, and her body's pretty...
She looks a little...
That's well said, Drew.
I'm just...
Hello, Anthony.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
AK, I'm doing great. Let's see. I like Latina women.
Yeah.
About 5'3", 5'4", between 130, 140 pounds.
Oh, so you like them thick?
Oh, you know, not too thick. I'm pretty much describing my wife right now.
Yeah, listen.
Please.
I'm not in any way saying your wife's overweight, but 5'3", 140 is thick.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just the curve, you know, the curviness that they have around the waist and the butt and the bubble butt. And I'm not a big boob guy. It doesn't have to be. I don't have to need, you know,
I agree.
Or anything like that.
Me too.
You know, V's are perfect.
I'm so on board with you. I am in no way saying that a busty woman isn't great. Kate Upton's fine. Beautiful woman. But if it's up to me, I would – I don't even notice a girl's boobs if she has great ass and legs.
Women's Same. Heads are exploding throughout America listening to this conversation.
Why?
Because they think that men think like they do.
No, this is why women suck so much. Is that because, listen, men, we have no
clue.
And
we've not heard, by the way, from a single woman about the perfect body because they probably don't have a sort of
preoccupation. Well, and it's so different. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Us men have no idea what goes on in the mind of a woman. But at least we're dumb enough to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just like, hey, you confuse us, and we don't know what's going on in your brain. Teach us. We'll try to make you happy. Women all think they know what guys think. Women, every single girl, it's like, well, I know what he wants. No, you don't. You crazy broad. You know nothing.
Well, you know, I posted a picture today with one of my friends, and her, she has a big butt, and it was out, you know?
Yeah.
And what bugged me is that the girls were the ones commenting on, like, the cellulite or, like, nitpicking little parts of it. And, like, all the guys were like, yo, that's just a nice ass.
Right. Remember when Miley did that performance at MTV Movie Awards or Video Awards that everybody hated? She did perform with Robin Thicke.
Yep.
Everyone was like, hey, it seemed like she didn't rehearse. So that's what guys are talking about. It's like, that was kind of a dumb outfit.
Yeah.
All the girls are like, she's got a flat ass guy. Not one guy saying that because they're like, I didn't notice. I was noticing how much I wanted to bang her. I noticed how much she sticks her tongue out and looks dumb. But only people that clown other chicks' bodies typically or guys who have no business clowning people. Have you ever noticed that, Drew?
Yeah, like 13-year-olds. Like.
Or like really fat guys. Like really fat guys with man boobs and like – or like short buff guys like 5'1" but like yoked. And they're like, oh, she's totally out of shape. She looks disgusting. I was like, who are you to talk?
Because I feel like if you get consistent ass, then you've dealt with imperfections before and you're not – that's not a big deal to you, you know? But guys who have only seen it on TV, those are the ones that are nitpicking everything.
Timothy, that's a very good point. That's actually a very good point. Hello, Greaser.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Not much. I like girls that are, like, kind of tall with big boobies and thick legs like that chick from Modern Family, that Colombian chick.
Oh, yeah.
Sofia Vergara, yeah.
Yeah, now what do we call her?
That's ideal.
What's that? How would a guy describe that?
I would say
sort of thick too,
buxom,
and thick too, a little bit.
Well, you know, it's a new term. It's a slim thick. That's what a lot of the youngins are using nowadays.
See, but here's the thing, and it's like guys who like maybe were buff in college, and now they've let it all go to crap. But they're like, oh no, I'm husky. I'm athletic.
Husky.
You're like, no, you're not athletic. You're a fat ass.
Yeah.
Just because you used to have a great, you know, overhead.
Why does that occur to you in relation to her?
Because now girls throw around the word curvy, like a little too freely.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm curvy, and they're like, oh no, you're fat.
Yeah, but guys may be the ones sort of reinforcing that.
My point being is that Sofia Vergara is curvy.
For reals.
Right.
Yeah.
She's curvy. If you're a fupa having chunti down at the swap meet, don't throw around curvy. 1-800-LOVE.
Fupa having?
Fupa having chunti. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
You live.
Give us a call. What do you think is the ideal body for men and women? Give us a ring. Timothy De La Ghetto from Wild 'N Out is our guest. He is at Traffic on Twitter. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
All it takes. 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Start punching in the numbers now so you're ready when Loveline returns.
Tune in on Real Self-Knowledge.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Why you listen to the Film Vault? Why?
Well, if you're a film lover, film enthusiast, or just curious about films.
Or maybe you don't know much about movies at all, much like my partner over here.
Wait a minute.
The Film Vault's a good place to actually have some idea of what's going on around you.
What if I went back and listened to old Film Vaults and learned about movies, and then I could be more educated for future Film Vaults?
That's like Back to the Future type stuff right there.
Ooh, I gotta go think about that. Where do I listen?
Podcast One.
Is that O-N-E?
It is.
Okay.
One 800 LOVE 191 is the number. Yeah. Give us a ring. We want to know what is the ideal body for the man, for the woman. Timothy De La Ghetto is our guest from Wild 'N Out, and I got to throw out my nominees for the men, just for me.
Male appearance.
Yeah.
All right.
I think, like, when guys get too buff, it gets vulgar. It's like, it's, you know,
it's
like
a little gross.
Yeah, like when they're veiny and stuff like that. And I understand the desire to do that. But I also think when guys are skinny, there's something emasculating about that. So I feel like McConaughey's got a, like, I think a very good male look. Build, yeah.
Ryan Gosling's chiseled but not overly buff.
Yeah. I think Gosling's a little soft to get the nod for ideal, you know. Maybe Brad Pitt in Troy. He was a little beefier in Troy, you know. What are you lying about?
They didn't look right to me.
Okay. Yeah. Amanda, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Finally a woman. Thank you.
You're welcome. I just heard your Ryan Gosling comment. You guys are tripping. Huh. He's fabulous.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course he's great. He's a beautiful looking man, and he's a talented guy. I'm talking about the ideal body. I was not saying I don't think he belongs in that category. That was just my opinion.
I heard you. I just disagree with you.
That's great.
I'm calling in about female straight perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I also think you guys are incorrect about, like, women criticizing other women and us not.
That's not open for debate.
Amanda, the point was we had all these men, every single man that called in had a different perfect zone, and none of them had anything to do with the kinds of things that you see in women's magazines.
Right, but the same can be said for the other way around. Like, I'm not into the ripped Matthew McConaughey, all of that. Totally do not agree with that. But either way,
Hold on. So that's important. So you think if we interviewed a bunch of women, you'd also see a huge range of perfection that is not reflected by the perfection that the magazines give everyone?
Oh, absolutely. You guys are saying, like, Playboy isn't the norm. I don't think, like, Muscle Magazine or whatever is the norm either.
Yeah, but that isn't the norm. And that is advertised as an extreme, you know, subsect of society.
But
GQ would be a better representation of what is being advertised as the modern kind of ideal male. No Muscle Magazine is claiming to be, like, the...
But your point is well taken, though, I think. You see a similar range in women, difference.
Yeah. That's not her point. What she was saying is that what is put out in the magazines is not what is really desired by the women.
Yeah.
And then she used Muscle magazines as an example. And I'm saying, well, that's a terrible comparison.
Right. That's a bad example. Okay.
Well, that was perhaps a bad example. But like the Matthew McConaughey, I didn't hear what the other example you guys mentioned was. But I don't think like the ripped, sweaty Texas whatever, like I don't think that – muscly, I don't think is ideal.
Okay. Anyway, what do you like? What do you like?
My personal preference. I'm not into ripped vibe. I like thick. Like there's muscles, but you can't like see lines and cutting and packs of sixes or whatever.
Packs of sixes.
I do like broad shoulders and bigger than me. Like I'm 5'9", so my love of my life is like 5'11", and he's a little more, you know, solid and protective is the word I use.
Thanks.
Got it. Well done.
The problem with girls who are that...
Don't take aim at her. It's finally got a woman calling.
I know. But when you get girls that are really narrow, like their taste is very narrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's not typical for women. Most women are pretty open-minded. They'll like...
Yeah.
If a guy treats them right, they don't care.
Yeah.
When a girl's like, he has to be this, but not too muscular.
Yeah,
there's something effed up about that. No, I'm serious. Like, they're always, like, she's 8 feet tall or...
All right. Keep going. Let's see and talk to another
Hello,
one.
Hello, Sarah.
Sarah?
Hey.
Hi.
What's up?
Sorry. So I wanted to bring it back to when you guys opened up the forum with the Kim K comments and the photos of her and everything. And in all honesty, everybody's talking about how, oh, my God, it's so controversial what she's doing, and I can't believe she did the full frontal and everything. But truly, I admire her, and I'm so glad that body type is being celebrated finally because she's a full-figured girl. She's not petite by any means. I mean, she has...
Well, she is, actually. That's the thing is that I agree, Sarah. Look, there should never be – we shouldn't glorify the idea of women being emaciated. I agree. But Kim Kardashian's more than just full – like, she's – kind of a freak of nature, like a woman that height. She's very short with a very thin waist and a monstrous ass. Like,
well, I know a lot of girls like that. I think her waist just looks thin because she's wearing like Spanx, but I feel like,
and it also probably looks thin in comparison to her ass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you're right. But you know, Iggy Azalea to me is a more unexplainable force of nature than Kim Kardashian, because at least Kim Kardashian's like short and stocky, so she has, you could be like, oh, she has a big ass. Iggy Azalea is like a runway model who just has a monstrous ass out of nowhere.
Might be fake.
It probably is, right?
No way.
They say it's fake, yeah? A lot of people think it's fake.
Oh, she drew. God. She's like a beanpole.
Yeah, I know. I've seen
it. With a monstrous ass.
It happens.
Hello, Trevor.
Trevor?
Hello, how's it going?
Pretty good, buddy.
Yeah, man. My dear buddies, some chick, man, that goes to UCLA, man. She's got to be like some little mulatto chick. You know what I mean?
Mulatto?
Okay, yeah. Keep going. Yeah,
you know how I go. You know, pretty big, you know, breasts. Like, you know, a C-cup.
Are you sweating? Like,
no, man.
The grossest caller ever.
He ran to the phone. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, big butt and everything.
Yeah, big butt, yeah. We'll keep going. All right. Dan, anything else? Trevor?
Right, I can't take Trevor anymore.
All right, keep going.
Wait, why are you so mad at me?
Trevor was a nice guy. These seem like sincere, nice people calling.
I agree, but he has to talk
to
continue
is
the
that
talk
a girl?
Show.
We finally get a woman here.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi.
There we go.
Hi.
What's up?
I kind of think that from, I don't know, just my opinion, that that men kind of are more attracted to, it goes beyond the boobs and the butt. It kind of starts in the face. It starts with maybe like the eyes and the lips.
But it depends.
No,
it depends on the guy.
And listen, a beautiful face is always preferred.
Do you know Anderson? Yeah. Anderson doesn't notice the body. Anderson, right?
Anderson is, and by his own admission, far from a normal person.
I'm just saying, but Anderson's not,
and not that I don't notice the body. I mean, if somebody's coming at me like with five bills, I'm going to be like, wow, that's a big,
I understand,
big,
but it's
big
not,
person.
It's not, you're not Zabrut. You're not
yeah, like
Terminator.
I've dated girls with massive heaving breasts, and I didn't realize it until they're in my hands.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
But,
I'm like, wow, there's a lot of boob here.
Boobs in particular, I think, is a unique, like, there. It's only a certain segment of guys that are like into, like our boob guys. I think it's uniform that like guys like beautiful women like have pretty faces. There's not
right.
one guy that's like, I really prefer ugly women.
I think that some of what determines a male's zone is affected by what he's exposed to during certain periods of development.
That's why I like Asian chicks.
Right.
And yeah. I think it's around 12 to 15. And if you're like my age, all the males were formed by Playboy images at that age.
So you like and Big Bush.
It just, but all that set the preferences. And I think there's something to that.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the first butt that, like, turned me on.
And you were 13
and
or something.
I was, like, in seventh grade, yeah. And then Erica Bennett was bending over to pick up a backpack.
And then, boom, it became the thing.
And that was my thing forever.
Yeah.
I remember the first vagina lip I saw when I was like, what the? All right, yeah.
Where was that?
Huh?
Where did you see that lip?
Where did I see it?
On a porn.
I was, no.
Was it a person?
Yeah.
In
like,
front of you?
Yeah, well, because I didn't understand, because I had only seen... like profile of vagina, you know, like pubic hair and like the Mons major.
Yeah. I know.
So like when a girl spread her and her underwear pulled her like vagina open,
yes,
essentially.
This poor girl.
And I saw like a labia.
How old
I was,
were
like,
you?
I was seventh grade, sixth grade. Yeah. So like
poor,
the first time I saw like labia,
kid, the poor little kid.
What?
Just keep moving.
It wasn't like I pantsed her, Drew.
I understand. I'm just thinking.
Jesus.
12-year-old kids, line one.
This is an interesting one. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, guys. How are you this evening?
We're good. How are you?
I'm Peachy Keen Jelly Beans.
Diana?
So my ideal man is like a brawny mountain man with a full beard, like Tom Hardy when he was in Lawless.
Okay. Now, do you feel like, is it insulting to you to be into mountain men and now like every hipster grows a beard because it's cool?
No, you know, because they're just not my type. Most hipsters are, you know, tight pants and
thin.
You know, way less than I do.
Yeah.
So
you like,
I really don't even notice it.
Are they heavy guys? Like, again, offensive
like
linemen?
Husky.
Or?
Yeah.
A manly man.
The best description would be like Tom Hardy's character when he was in Lawless.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Let me ask, was your dad built like that?
No. Oh, God. My dad is... completely opposite.
Are you a bigger girl?
No. Well, I'm 5'7", 135.
Oh no, you're not big at all. You're tall. I mean, but you have a very nice build. I would imagine. You know, you're by no means heavy.
I do squat.
You're by no means heavy. All right. Well, thank you. One last call, Ashley. Hello.
Hi.
How'd it go?
I was calling because I don't know. I think that. Like, the perfect male body is, like, kind of a big dude who's kind of chubby.
Another one.
I'm not big on, like, muscles.
Another big dude that's chubby. All right. another offensive lineman.
See, I think when girls say big dude that's chubby, to throw that in with offense, like, I don't think people...
They don't mean that big.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Kevin James?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
Kevin James, good profile.
I don't even know who that is. I spend all my time driving in a truck, but like
driving a truck.
My
driving
outside
truck.
Life is off.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, so the chick that spends her life driving a truck likes
truck drivers.
She may have a very narrow view.
Yes. Yes.
You
know, did anything strike you about these callers tonight?
Yeah.
What?
That I had to yell at them?
No. That's why I was yelling at you. They were all happy and nice, and it's an unusual mix for an open forum. Like everyone.
Oh yeah, because we're talking about what's their ideal view.
But isn't that funny?
Yeah, it was. It's uncommon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
everyone was happy and nice. That's not an open forum. We
I
normally
just like
get
a guy called it.
Like a girl.
But even that guy.
Like girls. Okay, what? This girl goes east LA. She's like mulatto.
Timothy.
Yes.
It was an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
I wish you nothing but the best of luck with everything in your career.
Thank you, guys.
Including Wild Now, which airs Wednesdays, 11 p.m. on MTV. Thank you for coming in, my man.
MTV 2.
MTV 2.
Yes.
11 p.m. Wednesday nights.
Thanks for having me.
At Traffic, T-R-A-P-H-I-K on Twitter. And then he has two YouTube channels. Check this man out. Very funny guy. Thank you, dude.
Yes, sir.
Now we'll take your calls on anything you want. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
One call is all it takes.
Exactly.
1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline's coming back.
New Rich Eisen Show.
What is it?
What is it?
Who better to tell you than Rich Eisen?
This is what we're going to have on the show. Just talking football along with music and movies and television shows. Interesting things of our pop culture landscape, of which the NFL is part.
And that's all you really want at the end of the day.
The Rich, Eisen Show.
Hold on a minute. This is probably my therapist.
Go to podcast1/Rich Eisen to hear every show.
L-O-V-E-191 is the number. Dr. Drew, here is a great question from a young lady who she has a great question, I think, for you, the man who you are. Bless you, Dr. Drew. Bless you. Hello, Lauren.
Hi. Hi.
What's going on?
Nothing. I had a question. How dangerous is it for an addict to be codependent on their significant other?
Well, many addicts have codependency. And it can show up sort of as love addiction. That's kind of how it, you know, you get high off your relationships or high off relationship drama. And it's just, you know, your disease takes advantage of everything. And it will take advantage of your codependency too.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your codependency will endanger your sobriety. So you have to attend to it.
So what would I do? I feel like I've already been through the worst. And I heard earlier, I believe Mike was talking about how it's like a nightmare, you know, and if I want to stay committed to this, but...
Wait. You're an addict?
No, I'm not.
So how dangerous is it for an addict to have a codependent?
Right.
Or is your addict partner also codependent on you? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, yeah, if my partner who is an addict... is codependent on me and, let's say, gave up alcohol because he's addicted, he's an alcoholic, gave up alcohol to try and, I don't know, just hopefully love was enough.
What? I don't get you. I just understand what you're saying.
Is it, I don't know how else to phrase it. Is it dangerous for them to be codependent if I was their addiction, if I became their new addiction?
Well, it's common.
Yeah, it's common. They'll switch over. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't – it sounds like this may be a time for everybody to get some therapy. you know, get in with a therapist who understands alcoholism and addiction and sort of see how to tease this all apart. That might be a really good opportunity for that. If he's not using, great. He'll be sort of in his right mind. And get in the therapist's office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Let's take this call because it's insane. Hello, Sierra.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
So my question, I've been with my boyfriend for like 3.5 years now. And the longer we've been together, there's been more things that have come up in the bedroom as far as like what his fetishes are. And this new one that he's really been pushing recently is like his fetish to cross dress and like to have me take control and be the one in charge and be the one who's like dressing him up and stuff like that. And I don't like know where this is coming from. It's just kind of different.
Well, I don't know your boyfriend, so yeah. I don't know either.
Well, I thought I knew him a little bit better. I mean, it's just kind of out of the blue. He said he's kind of done this before with one of his ex-girlfriends.
Oh, I'm sure he has. This is not a part-time preoccupation.
Well, I'm like, you know, it's not going to go away, but I'm trying to understand like why guys would want.
I'm not sure there's one answer to that. Usually there's some traumatic history in there where sort of wires get crossed a little bit. Now, does it have to be treated, or can you have a successful relationship indulging this stuff? No, it doesn't have to be treated, and yes, you can have a stable relationship. However, usually there's some stuff there that kind of would benefit from treatment.
Right.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
Let's see here. Yeah, let's get this one.
That line 5's been waiting forever. That one's called back a couple times, dropped off.
Hello, Alexis.
Hi. First off, I love you, Mike and Drew.
I love you, Alexis.
Aren't you glad I asked for Alexis?
I am. My ego needed that.
Okay, my question is, I went off birth control about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. and I still haven't gotten my period. So I'm just wondering how long until I should.
Yeah, what birth control was it?
I don't know, but I know that it was a low dose because I was having too many side effects to the higher doses of estrogen.
Okay. And were you having your periods normally on that pill?
Yeah. And I was on it since I was like 16 and I went off it when I was 19.
Right. Most people restore their cycling within 6 months. So if you're not having it after 6 months, you need to go see the gynecologist. They can kickstart it. They can get it going.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
That's
how nice Alexis was.
Yes. Let's
do the alcoholic, yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Cameron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Oh, are we into Stinky Piggy tonight?
Nope.
Okay.
Hello, Cameron.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
We're good. How are you?
Not too bad. So my question, first of all, alcoholism runs in my family.
Okay.
My dad was a drug addict as well as an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I've recently had, like, many people tell me, hey, man, like, you should slow down on your drinking. You should go get help. And the problem is I can't. Like, I literally cannot go get help. And I'm just wondering, like, how do I know if I'm actually an alcoholic? You know, I've had times where I've just gotten angry. When I'm sober, I've just gotten angry for nothing.
Yeah, well, come on now. Well, you were probably in withdrawal, so you're irritable and agitated. You know, you have the gene, and now you're having consequences. That's it. You got it.
Right. But like, I was sober for about a day. It's not like I'm drunk 24/7, you know?
I don't know any alcoholics that are.
What was that?
I've never treated an alcoholic rarely did I treat alcoholics that were sober drinking 24/7. That's unusual.
You're living on the streets. You know,
that's severe, profound alcoholism life-threatening alcoholism. Alcoholism is genetic heritage, ongoing use despite consequences, and denial. That's it.
Right. And like I said, I can't go to rehab or anything.
But you can go to AA meetings. Just show up. Raise your hand. Say I want help.
I've been to those, and, you know, when I was younger, to help me deal with my dad's alcoholism, you know.
That's Al-Anon. That's not AA.
Right, but they were focused around God, and I'm an atheist, and I'm not into the whole, you know, God.
Yeah,
God
that's a terrible excuse. And listen, you're gonna make excuses all day, and either you're gonna want to not drink, or you want to continue. I mean, that's your choice. Listen, Cameron, that is the number one go-to. I want to not go to a meeting excuse, because if you really went and you really listen,
you'd realize it's not about
has
that.
Nothing to do with an actual, you know, concrete or tangible God of any type of religion. It's the idea of
not controlling things
giving up your self-control
and having faith that when you give up control, the world won't spin off its axis. That's all. And if you need God in your brain to think about that, great. If you don't, whatever. It's the laws of physics, whatever it might be for you.
All right. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, dude. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Please do give us a call if you have a question about anything you want. Dr. Drew and I are here for you. That is the truth, my man. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
This is Loveline.
It's a groovy way of relaxing.
Sit tight. Loveline's coming back.
Hi, this is Sean King.
And Larry King.
And we want to invite you to download our new podcast, Back and Forth with Sean and Larry.
Once a week, you'll get a first-hand look at what it's like to be me and to live with her.
Oh, yeah, and you'll see what it's like to live with him. We'll also talk to celebrities and newsmakers to see what they're up to.
Don't miss it.
Download Back and Forth with Sean and Larry King every Thursday at podcastone.com.
That's podcastone.com.
Gabriel, thank you for calling Loveline.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's a Gabrielle, I should say.
It is. It's Sorry. Gabrielle.
What's up?
I had no way of knowing.
This question is more directed towards Dr. Ju, I would assume. I'm 30 weeks pregnant, and I'm actually having a really good day, which is why I called. I have really bad days, like pretty much almost every other day now, where I'm so depressed that I hysterically cry all day.
Have you told your obstetrician?
I tried to my last appointment the other day, but he wasn't in. I had to talk to the nurse, who's a complete quack, and I hate her.
Is there someone else at the office you can discuss this with?
Honestly, the other girls in the office, they're kind of ditzy and weird. But, I mean, I would like to talk to him about it, but my next appointment isn't for another 3 weeks or something
like
that.
Well, this is really serious. You need to talk to them right now, but certainly tomorrow.
Right.
And it could get a lot more serious after the delivery.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the postpartum depression.
Yes, it's possible, and they need to watch you very carefully.
Yeah, when I was 18, I was really depressed because I lived in a really strict household.
Listen,
and
the other thing, I'm wondering if there's something going on in your pregnancy, because very often medical problems can manifest as depression.
I haven't really had any medical problems. I've had a couple,
listen to me.
UTIs, but
no, I mean something going wrong. That but whenever there's a depression and there's anything going on medically, like a pregnancy, like a surgery, whatever it might be, and you get a depression, you have to rule out the possibility that depression is a symptom, like a fever, of a medical problem.
Okay.
That needs to be looked at. So that's why it's important that you give the obstetrician a call, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Recently, like the past couple weeks, I've been getting really bad anxiety to go along with it. Like,
right.
I rearranged my room, and I made, like, this peaceful little thing that I could just look at and calm myself down.
And my fiance decided to put his twist on it, make it a little more masculine, and it freaked me out so bad to the point where I was, like, hyperventilating almost, and I had to make him leave the room. And I don't get like that. I'm a very peaceful, happy person normally. I'm very positive. I meditate. I work out. Like, I'm very healthy with my eating, my, you know, just everything. I'm very healthy.
Right. And now you're severely depressed.
Now
you're not healthy. Now you're not healthy. You have a medical problem. And is this brain disorder a primary brain issue? Is it the result of the pregnancy? Or is there something else going on? I can't answer any of that, but it needs evaluation. It is a medical problem. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
I also don't think that enough – I don't think enough women – and I'm totally basing this off my own experience with my wife and our child. But I don't think enough women get enough kind of insight into how crazy you can go just from a normal pregnancy, just from a normal healthy pregnancy. Like, I don't think you get enough warning.
Yeah.
And sometimes a girl, a confused, very young girl – like, she may spin out of control, you know? I mean, women go bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that in a loving way. It's just like, I don't think there's enough talk about how much emotional effect there is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, particularly with fertility treatment, where women are treated incubators, it's crazy. And they're just told to suck it up.
Yeah. Hello, Randy.
Hi. I'm calling because I have extremely vivid dreams that affects my attitude and my emotions for sometimes a week.
Maybe it's the moods and the emotions are already stirred up, and that's why you have the vivid dreams.
Maybe. I mean, last night I dreamt that my boyfriend died. I woke up, tried to think of something else, went back to sleep, and just started off the dream right where I left off. And for the whole day, I've just been, like, extremely depressed. And then, I mean, they're not all sad. I've had, you know, erotic ones, those are lovely, that, you know, I'm happy for the rest of the day. But then there's these ones where people are leaving me or my boyfriend's dying, like last night, and it's just hard to get over all that emotion. I woke up crying in the middle of the night.
Oh, is he alive?
He's alive now.
Oh, yeah, this is no fun.
You don't die if you die in your dreams?
I thought you dreamt that he died and he died, and I was like, wow!
Are you on any medication?
I take Adderall.
Okay, well, that's probably what's doing it.
A daily basis.
This is a classic medication thing.
Well, I've been on it for 10 years, and this just started happening within the last few months.
Wow.
I know. She's been on it a long time. I would discuss with whoever's prescribing the Adderall. I don't know why it would all of a sudden. You're not a new birth control pill or anything of that sort?
I changed my birth control, but that was a year ago. Nothing recent.
Well, birth control, sometimes the effects, you know, the sort of some of the unpleasant side effects develop over time. So it may be some combination of the two.
Okay.
Yeah, I would discuss it with whoever. And I hope it's an expert, like a psychiatrist, prescribing that Adderall, not just a.
It is.
Yeah. And you discuss it. See if that's a possibility.
Okay.
All right? Because in terms of causing vivid dreams, that's a medication thing. And if the vivid dreams are upsetting you, as opposed to you happen to be depressed, and then the depression is sort of manifesting as horrible dreams, the dreams are just making a pre-existing mood problem worse. But it kind of feels like the way patients usually describe medication effects is the way you're describing this.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, honey. TJ.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's happening, man?
Well, my girlfriend's on the birth control pill, but she won't let me finish inside of her.
It's kind of silly. She's super paranoid about pregnancy?
It doesn't seem like that much, you know, but it's like every girl I've been with in the past, it's never been a big deal, you know?
It
needn't be.
It needn't be. I agree. But we are not women, and that is an oddly personal – like, that is – like, he's shooting juice in her. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of us can really understand what that's like, and maybe some – I've experienced some girls. I agree, TJ. I agree, Dr. Drew. She needn't be concerned.
Right.
But
yeah.
I have – been intimate with certain girls that it's just like they don't like that. They don't like the idea of it, you know. And
it's interesting,
but it's safe, right? Though, like,
yes, she should be fine.
If she is responsibly taking her pill, it is very safe.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I mean, is there anything I can say to her?
And maybe ask her. Maybe what is your motive? Maybe it has nothing to do with the pregnancy. Maybe she's one of these girls.
And if she reads in the packet that it's 99.9996%, she's like, see, it's not 100%.
Yeah.
You know, she maybe has that kind of anxiety about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks, guys.
All right, dude.
Let's do that silver nitrate thing.
Okay, because I don't even know what the hell that is. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I apologize. I caught a cold, so my voice is kind of gone for the night.
You sound hot.
My question is, excuse me, we're Dr. Drew. A couple of days ago, I went in for a follow-up exam for my doctor. I was having some vaginal bleeding after intercourse, and as she was doing the exam, what I thought was just regular cultures, I later find out afterwards that she used silver nitrate on my cervix. I guess she had diagnosed me with cervical ectropion, and so she had used the silver nitrate to burn these extra cells. Now, at the time of the exam, she didn't tell me what she was doing at all. It was after the fact, after I literally sat up, and then she explained to me what these cells were and what she used, and that was pretty much it. She sent me home, and then later that day, I had severe cramping. I had this very heavy discharge. I became alarmed. I went online and I found out that all these symptoms are, you know, apparently normal, but I had no idea of it.
We have 5 seconds left, literally. What's bottom line?
So I just want to know from a legal standpoint, what can I do?
I don't think you need to. It's sort of like putting a dressing on a wound. She just put like a, almost like putting a salve on a wound. It's just.
In this crazy mix of world makes you think that nobody cares. We do be good.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan. Executive producer Norm Pattis. Loveline is a presentation of Courtside Entertainment Group.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
The end of a perfect evening.
I've always admired your show.
Have you ever considered...
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.
Mike, True Car is changing car buying forever.
Yeah, it's making it true. Well, it's a true car.
Helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network, and True Car users save an average $3,221 off MSRP.
That's good money. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three very easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And third, it's very simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience.
Some features not available in all states. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
That's TrueCar.com.